Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Experience Hendrix is a touring show that features the music of Jimi Hendrix performed by some legendary performers. It has just made a stop here in Denver, Colorado, and one of the performers on the tour probably knows Jimi Hendrix music better than anybody else. Former bandmate, roommate, and friend of Jimi Hendrix, the legendary bass player Billy Cox joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I am doing well. I also understand, as we speak, that today is your birthday.
It is.
Well, happy birthday, and thank you for spending some time with us.
All right, we appreciate that.
I mentioned that you were a friend and bandmate and roommate of Jimi Hendrix. Take us back to how the two of you first met.
It was back in about 1961. I was stationed at Fort Campbell. Jimmy was stationed at Fort Campbell. And it so happened that I'd been to a theater movie that evening, and as we were leaving the theater, it started raining, so all of us were running for cover, and I found myself on the doorstep of Service Club Number One, at which time we were a window was up lightly in a practice room at the service club. That's where the military personnel can rent out instruments and go to these practice rooms and play guitars, piano, et cetera, et cetera. And I heard this guitar playing in kind of amateurish-like, but yet a little different because it had a personality to it. And I had played upright bass in the high school symphony, and like a lot of us had played in a marching band and in our schools. So I went in, introduced myself, and he said, my name's Jimi Hendrix. And he said, I told him, I said, well, I used to play upright bass, and I kind of like what you're doing. He said, well, you can just turn in your service card, and you can rent one of those electric basses. So I did that, and we went in, and we started jamming, and the rest is, the rest of the story.
I mean, how coincidental do you ever think about, had it not rained, had you not gone into that service club, how different your life would be today if you had not met Jimi Hendrix that day?
I've thought about it 1,000 times, and it's fate are the cards you dealt at birth, but destiny is what you do with those cards.
Now, my daughter, who is 19 years old, played the upright bass in her high school symphony for about, 4 years, and then before that in middle school. So I was the bass roadie for her entire career. So I can see why you did not have it with you at Fort Campbell. It's a little cumbersome to carry around the country.
It is, I tell you. I'm glad they invented the electric bass.
Well, after you and Jimmy played together there at Fort Campbell, he left the Army not too long after. He was not in for very long at all. And then shortly after that, you left as well, and you two reconnected again and continued playing together in bands.
Well, no, we played on the post. We formed a band. We had got a drummer, and we played on the EM Club, the Officers Club. We practiced and rehearsed, and I terminated my jump status. Because I only had maybe about 8 months left, and I became a director of the service club because I had the rank and the time in. And so we rehearsed all day long, and then we found a job in Clarksville, Tennessee, which was about 15 miles from Fort Campbell, and we worked there. And then we knew that he knew he was getting out a month before I did, and then I followed him, but we got rented a little house there with our girlfriends and all. And then when we got discharged, we resided there in Clarksville. And after a little bit of time, we decided to move on to Indianapolis, Indiana. We didn't do too well, so we wound up coming back to Clarksville. And then after about 6 months, these fellows from Nashville said, "We hear that you guys are probably about the best band in east of the mighty Mississippi. Why don't you come to Nashville and do an audition for us at our club?" We were off on Sunday and Monday, so we went to Nashville, did the audition, and they hired us right on the spot. We gave that club about a week's notice, and we wound up in Nashville, Tennessee, where I still reside today.
Very nice. Now, I just moved from Indianapolis not too long ago. I spent about 20 years there. Where were you guys in Indy?
Indiana Avenue at George's Bar.
All right. I don't think that exists anymore. I'm very familiar with Indiana Avenue in that area, however. Now, going back to when you guys were playing on bass, were you starting to see some of, you mentioned that you heard Jimi Hendrix's personality come through that very first night you heard him playing guitar. Was he getting more experimental and showing some of his personality? Because I imagine in an Army bass situation where they don't really cherish personality and expression like that, was he doing more standard stuff, or were you starting to see a glimpse of what was to come?
We were doing both standard, and we were creating songs on our own. And he was getting better because he knew that it would take a lot of practice. So they say sometimes it takes 10,000 hours really to perfect an instrument. And I saw him take about 5,000 hours, and he did it.
Talking to Billy Cox, bass player who spent a lot of time with Jimi Hendrix. There was a time when you were not with Hendrix, however, after you guys performed in and around Nashville. He went on to New York and then, of course, to London, and you did not join him on that journey initially. What was the reason for that for you?
Okay, well, let me take you back a little bit.
Okay.
We formed the King Casual Band, and we did what we had to do. He always, deep down inside, he knew that he was destined for stardom, first of all, because the way he played on stage, heck, I built him a 75-foot cord, and he lost one thousandth of a second. So the longest I could really build that cord would possibly be 60 feet. So we did 60 feet, and he did a lot of his expertise on guitar with that chord. He'd come off stage and do a few little dance steps and et cetera. But nevertheless, he went off and he wanted me to go with him with the Gorgeous George. He was with the Jackie Wilson outfit. And I really didn't think I wanted to get out. I don't think I was ready for it. But he went out, and then a couple months later, he came back. He called me and said, "Man, I'm stranded here and I need help." So I got him back. So I did that maybe three times in his career to get him back to where we were. Then one time I looked up, and there was a Silver Eagle bus that came up the street, and we're sitting on the stoop, and it was a Little Richard and Jimmy. And that's at the time when he was with Little Richard. And Richard came up to me, and he said, "Hey," he said, "you must be Billy Cox. Get your bass, and let's go." I said, "Mister, I can't do that. I have to give this band I'm with at least a week's notice. I can't just jump up and go." He said, "Well, you're going to lose the best job you ever had. Come on, Jimmy, let's go." So he went on. So later on, he called me and said he had left Richard. It was in about 3 months after that, and he said, "Look, Billy," he said, "I'm going to, this guy has discovered me, they're going to send me to England and make me a star, and I told him about you." And I kind of fallen almost on hard times, and I turned and said, "Well, Jimmy," I said, "I can't make it right now. I'm, you know, in transition, doing some things, da, 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 da." He says, "Okay, I'll make it, and then I'll send for you." And that's just what he did. Took him 2.5 years.
And he did. He eventually sent for you, and you reconnected, and you guys, of course, performed at Woodstock together. A legendary performance, part of which, the Star Spangled Banner performance, has been called the all-time greatest instrumental, if not live performance of all time. Talk to me about how Woodstock and the band that you put together came about, because that was just a temporary thing that may or may not have been ready for such a large stage.
This is true, but however, Jimmy was growing musically and spiritually, and I think this is where he was trying to take steps to move on with his music a little more, because when we got together, he was trying to pick in my brain for a lot of things, that those little rhythmic patterns and that we had created years ago. And so the result of that was in Dolly Dagger, Freedom, Infant Storm, songs of that nature. That's how they came about. Because just like I say, he was growing musically. But also, you notice on that the Star Spangled Banner, you notice I played the first five notes on there. You get it on the CD or the vinyl. And then something told me, says, "Mr. Cox, I think you better lay out on this one, because you're not needed on this one." And I stopped immediately. And what an incredible rendition of the Star Spangled Banner we had for coming from Jimmy.
Now, it did face some criticism for taking some liberties with the tune itself, but you standing there on stage, here are two veterans of the United States Army performing for a large crowd. You had to have known his intentions and his spirit in that performance.
Yes. You know, Roy Rogers wore a flag shirt sometimes, and every now and then they'd give him criticism, but nevertheless, I'm getting on a tirade of another kind. But, however, whatever. We didn't really, you know, Jimmy said he thought it was beautiful, and I did too. And the crowd reacted to that with appreciation, because if you listen to it, you hear the various the choruses of the music, given the bombs and the sounds, and Jimi Hendrix's genius came out in that song 150%.
Billy Cox was on stage next to Hendrix at Woodstock and by his side for many, many years playing the bass. He is now part of Experience Hendrix, the tour that goes around playing the music of Jimi Hendrix with some other musicians that we will talk about in just a minute, because you have quite a lineup on this tour. But first, let's after Woodstock, talk about what happened next. You guys went on a tour in Europe that was rather short-lived, and you left that tour partway through, and shortly thereafter, Jimmy passed away.
Well, now you moved a little ahead, because we formed, there was another group called the Band of Gypsies. And he, myself, and Buddy Miles became a part of that group, the Band of Gypsies. In fact, we've had a few, there were a few albums out. And then, later on, I had an opportunity to go to Europe with him as the Experience. I took Noel Redding's place.
And you're the only man who was in the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Band of Gypsies, and Gypsies, Sons and Rainbows, which was what he called the band that they put together for Woodstock. You're the only person, aside from Jimi Hendrix, that was in all of those incarnations.
Yeah, and in his King Casual band.
Talk to me, though, about that tour when you left, and then shortly thereafter, Jimmy passed away. What was your reason for leaving the tour when it was in Europe?
I got sick. I mean, it was just a grueling tour, and I had never, being just playing in the type of bands I played in before, the tour was really grueling. And it took a toll on my health. But I only missed one gig, and that was the end of the tour.
Do you remember the day and the time and the moment, what you were doing when you found out that Jimmy had passed away?
Yeah, I was at home, and it came as a shock. Not only to me, but it came as a shock to the musical world.
Had you ever had any concern prior to that about his substance use?
No, none whatsoever. And I don't believe substance was the reason. Reason he had a problem in any way.
It's a lifestyle, though, isn't it? I mean, many of your heroes and a lot of your influencers lived kind of those hard road lives, and some of them dealt with experiences, whether they were substance related or mental health related or anything like that. It seems to somewhat go with the territory. Do you think it does?
I think so, because a lot of times as musicians, we don't think about the ramifications of not getting 8 hours sleep. And it takes a toll on a person's heart, lungs, and organs. You have to start, you can't just enjoy every night, I don't think. You just have to be very vigilant and take care of your health.
Do you ever stop and think that the entire arc of Jimmy's career really happened in less than a 10-year span? How amazing that would be today.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Experience Hendrix tour. Billy Cox, bassist who was with Jimi Hendrix for many, many years, now playing the music of Jimi Hendrix. Who else is out there on the road with you?
Oh, we've got Joe Satriani, incredible guitar playing. Motto 9G, Eric Johnson, Dweezil Zappa, Johnny Lang, Chuck Campbell, Doyle Bromhall. Oh, we've got Taj Mahal and Calvin Cook and Kevin McCormick and Anna Popovich. And the list goes on.
Wow. How many buses do we have on this tour?
I never counted them. It don't take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 7 or 8.
That's quite the rolling circus. It must be a pleasure for you to share Jimmy's music with these other musicians every night.
Not only a pleasure, a privilege.
Wonderful. Well, people can find out more about the show. It's called Experience Hendrix again, and experiencehendrixtour.com. has all of the dates and information, and you can also check out Billy Cox online, and it's been a real pleasure speaking with you, sir. Thank you so much for your time. Happy birthday once again.
Hi, Dave. Take care, and thank you for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.